Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, welcome to another interesting, or what promises to be another interesting edition of Real Talk with Lola. And this is the International Women's Day edition. And just to remind you, Lola is the Nigerian psychologist based in South Africa, and she helps us, or helps Nigerians in diaspora to know or understand how to cope with living abroad. And this month, she has something interesting lined up, and it's the International Women's Day edition, and we'll be talking about celebrating the strength of the woman. All right, Lola, good day. How are you doing?
I'm doing very great. Thank you very much.
All right, so what do we have today?
What do we have today? Well, I mean, I should say, what do we have this month?
Okay, very
like
good.
I said, funny, the month of March is very interesting. I will call it the Women's Month because tomorrow is International Women's Day.
Yeah.
On the 4th is Mother's Day in South Africa. So it's very interesting. So I decided that, okay, you know what, let's look at the strength of a woman and how women, I mean, we wear a lot of caps, a lot of caps. I know people say a lot of things about women, but a lot of women do so many things that you start to wonder, where do they get the strength from? And one of them is my guest, Caroline. I call her, like I always say, how do you pin Caroline down? She's so energetic that at times I ask myself, okay, Lola, it's just a child's play when it comes to Caroline.
All right, I can see that. Our smile on the poster is infectious. Looks real.
No, seriously, you know that song in Sounds of Music that they said, how do you pin her down? That song was sung for Caroline.
Mm.
How do you pin Caroline down? Without too much time, Caroline, I would need you to do me a big favor. I know it's very embarrassing, but you're going to do me that favor. Can you pronounce your surname for me?
Bingifor. Bingifor.
Bingifor.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Yeah, and Caroline is, she's a, Caroline says she's a Cameroonian, but I call Caroline a black woman. And when I say a black woman, Caroline is a black woman. She's a Niger mother.
Yeah. Even the name is close enough.
Yeah. She's a Cameroonian. She's one of the people I will call. Caroline is real. Caroline is one of the people I will call real, very grounded, and she gives it as it is. She's one of the people I would tell you is ready to shake that table when the table needs to be shaken, and she doesn't hold any bounds. But one of the good things about Caroline is, and I always say to people, is she is very led by her faith, which is the Christian faith. So she does things with a lot of faith-based things, but with common sense. So she doesn't allow it cloud her. So Caroline, please, without going too much, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself before we now go into our questions?
Oh, my word. Hi, Nigeria. Hi, Lagos. Hi, everyone listening in. Yes, my name is Caroline Bingifor, and it is such a privilege to be on air this evening, your time. And thank you so much, Lola. Lola is an exemplary big sister to me. So if you think I am... how do you pin Caroline down? I guess I learned it from those that have gone before me. Oh, thank you so much for having me. I don't take it for granted. I think it's a privilege.
Hello, okay, Caroline, you went off.
I was reconnecting there. Yeah.
Okay, we lost you a bit there. You were talking about...
I'm a wife.
Okay, you're a wife. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. I'll start again, yeah. I'm a wife. I'm a big father's girl. My daddy in heaven. I'm a daughter of the Most High. I am a mother of two powerful girls, I call them. I'm also a businesswoman. I I'm an executive. I'm just a woman who believes that we can do all things, really. Whatever your priorities are and what you've chosen as your segment in life, you can really thrive in that. So, that's how I like to be known for now.
Okay, go ahead. Lola, okay. Let's start some real talk with Caroline.
Okay. Yes. Now, one of the things I know that when I was going to talk to Caroline, and two things were the main reasons I was going to talk to Caroline about her strength, okay? Caroline happens to run, well, I call it an NGO, but I know it's a group called Daughters of Sarah, and I happen to have given a talk on that group before, and one of the intriguing things about that group, which I don't think I've ever told Caroline before, was the reality of what they discuss in the group, and that is the strength of a woman. And one of the things I would say is marriage and sexuality. You know, mm-hmm. one of the topics we did there was demystifying sex in marriage, mm-hmm. and that was one of the strangest things. People thought, okay, how do a group of women come to talk about it? Caroline, can you tell us what made you start that group?
Yes, thank you very much for that, Lola. I think, you know, life, as we know, life happens to all of us. So we all go through journeys in life. Some of us marry and we're very clear about why we marry. Some of us marry and it's just, you know, it's just something people do, you know, when you fall in love and you feel like you really want to be with this person for life. And you marry for all kinds of reasons. So I'm probably one of those who married young, like probably many African, young African girls at age 23. And marriage wasn't all that I thought it was, I mean, at the beginning. But lo and behold, as marriage was rocky and I wasn't mature myself. I don't think I knew who I really was or who I wanted to be. So marriage was quite rocky. I mean, it was tumultuous, I'll call it that. But in the course of that, I really grew in my relationship with the Lord, you know. And this is not something somebody taught me. This is not a pastor, but this is me and God in my bedroom and my bathroom, you know, having conversations and sitting with my Bible and saying, you know what, Lord, either you change me or you change my husband, but between the two of us, somebody has to give, you know? You know, and I began to change. I mean, from small things, the Lord changed me so much, you know, from how I talk to him, how I serve, how I bring on my kids. I begin to realize that I needed a lot of changing. Was my husband wrong in many ways? Oh, yes, he did a lot of things that I should have killed him, not only divorced him, but I, you know. But in the course of that, I realized that if I change, and I change in some aspect of who I really wanted to be, but I didn't have the courage to change, because it takes courage to change to become who you want to look like and who you really would admire. And as I began changing, I realized that my husband began changing. And that is really how Daughters of Sarah was conceived, I would say. And yes, and from there, I mean, the short story is that I think my pastor realized that, you know, there was something about me and marriage and how I had grown, and really just entrusted me with that ministry. And really that's I've led it now for almost 12 years, and by God's grace, it continues to grow. Yeah. So that's how it came about. It's actually born out of pain, not out of kumbaya. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that you are the, I know that Carol wears so many caps, Carol. I know that you run this ELF program thing for the elderly. It was a little bit, I found it very intriguing then, because it wasn't something that was very common. Especially with us Africans, you know, like, you know, remember when I discussed it with you that it's very un-African, but you know, people put their old people in homes. Do Africans really do that, you know? Can you just tell us a little bit about how do you juggle? And I know that there was a point in time you were nominated for like an international MB or something. How do you juggle everything together?
Well, I have to just say, I think, as you said in your introduction, one of the many things I think that God has blessed me with is energy. I think I'm blessed with energy and strength. Okay. And I think I don't take it for granted, because I do know that there are people who would like to be able to run a 10-hour, 12-hour day and still be able to operate after hours. And they might not just have the God-given strength. So I don't want any woman to measure themselves against another, because we are all given different strength and abilities according to what we are mandated to fulfill on this side of the planet, right? So I think that the first thing that I have been blessed with strength and energy, and I use that, as I said before, that my personal motto is that I do all things well. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means that I just strive perfectly to do them well. And so how I juggle that is just that in my course of my personal transformation, I just become clear of what my priorities are. And I really govern my life around those priorities that I've set for myself. When it comes to my faith, my relationship with God, that is non-negotiable. When it comes to my husband, that is so non-negotiable. When it comes to my kids, and therefore everything in my life kind of follows some order of priority, right? But I also made a very intentional decision years ago that the only thing I can really give people while I'm alive is my time, you know. So being accessible, being available to talk to people when I can is something, it's for me, it feels like my gift to people, and also their gift to me, because sometimes people don't really want your money or anything. They really want just an ear to listen, you know. So I really do, I'm very intentional about that. So from the business side of things, business was part of my way of aligning my marriage and our vision together. So my husband has always been a businessman from when I knew him. And a few years ago, I really felt called to this purpose, you know, to transform the way health is accessible in Africa while we're still doing it in what I call a small manner. We are a growing business, and that is really making sure that every person, no matter where you are, you're able to access healthcare at your doorsteps, because we know, especially in South Africa, good healthcare can be very expensive, and in Africa there's just no good healthcare. So we're hoping that by God's grace the business will be able to transform healthcare in Africa. Right now we've moved to another level of the business where we're transforming, we're taking all kinds of consultation, from counseling, coaching, to actual specialists and doctor consultation into our platform. So it's by God's grace, I'm doing it one step at a time. I don't want to compete with anybody. My own competition is the vision that I've set for myself that God has given me. And so I think that's how I managed to juggle it. But I really stay true to my priority. I really try and honor God the best way I can. My husband is the God that I see right here, right now. And so that's how I drive all that I do, to ensure that I am honest and true to myself and my own values that I've set for myself, and making sure that I'm aligned to my own set of values.
Okay, Arul, do you have any questions before I go on?
All right, go ahead. I'm enjoying you guys. Halfway mark, I'll intervene. Okay. I'm taking my notes already.
Yes, okay. One thing I would like to ask you, Carol, is, I mean, you know what the topic is this month? Is we're celebrating the Women's Month, okay? Now, yes. go back to young Carol.
Yes.
Tell me, if you were to advise, I mean, you know what these young people are into nowadays, you know, we're looking at the strength of the woman, okay? Now, when I look at the strength of a woman, sometimes it can be a little bit, remember the story I told you about, sometimes you just want to call up into one little corner and just cry, because it's just so much, you
just
understand?
Too much.
Just too much, you understand? So what do you think, when we talk about the strength of a woman, what do you think actually motivates you as a person? And how would you advise the young ones coming up? Because I mean, I can see you do a lot of, you have a lot of experience in setting up skills, transformational coaching, you know, strategy, policy, you know, startups and everything. So tell us a little bit about how do you advise the up and coming ones?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, Lola, the one thing I would hope, and this is even to the deepest rural, you know, if somebody's listening to us now who say, I'm from the poorest of family, I'm from the most rural setting, you do not know, you don't know where I come from. You know, we always make that say that you don't know where I come from. You don't know how bad my circumstance is. And I want them to hear me and to hopefully hear my heart. I mean, which is something I have come to realize. I realized that in my 30s, and that's why I'm so boisterous and so aggressive about my vision now, because I know that tomorrow is not given to me. You know, tomorrow is not a guarantee. Everything is guaranteed to me is right now. I have you on the phone right now, and this is as present as I can be. So the one thing I would have told my younger self is that everything I wanted was in me, but I didn't know that then, right? So and the fact that what you see, no matter how bad it is, can definitely change. Because I think if for those of us who come in very humble circumstances, one of the things we find is despondence, where people have lost hope, where they feel like, you know, nothing can change. You know, this is Nigeria. Nigeria is never changing. You know, Nigeria might never change, but you can. You know, you came fully equipped. You came fully equipped. And that is not a... That is not a cliche. It's not a buzzword. It's not a tinkling of your ear. It is the absolute truth that if you just keep searching internally as you search externally, you would definitely find something, a gift in you that the world needs and that you can showcase and that can transform your life. You know, education is beautiful. I mean, if you can, please get educated as much as you can. But if you can't, for those who I do not have money, I mean, I think even you have a lot still in you. And I think if we can bring up our young girls who will become women with the understanding that you don't have to chase a man, you don't have to chase after money, you don't have to do things that you would not. And even if you're doing that now to survive, you don't have to feel like that's the only thing you can do, you know? Everything that you want and that you can become is in you. You just have to spend enough time digging deep and looking up to those that you see that are doing what you dream to do, asking guidance and being willing to do the work. Because, you know, knowledge it does not bring transformation. It's actually when you take your knowledge and you transform it into action, you know, into actual change that brings transformation. So I would tell my young self that, you know what, Caroline, you've been given all that you needed. And when I found that out myself, did education help me? Oh, yes, definitely. But a lot of what I do now has come from my own getting to know the spirit within me, getting to know who I am. And a huge part of that is really getting to know what you were created for. Why are you here? When you begin to ask yourself some of those tough questions, you begin to unearth and unbirth gifts in you that you never thought were there. And that's what a lot of our young women in Africa really need now. They need education, but also need to really get to know who they are, because that's how we struggle in marriage, because we're trying to do look and be different things. But if you get to begin to know who are you really and what do you really want to be, that is the most powerful thing you can gift yourself. And I wish I knew that in my 20s, my early 20s, when I met my husband. I mean, then I thought he was a monster after marriage, you know, but now I know he's the best thing that ever happened to my life. But that's 22 years into it.
I mean, don't we all go through that?
I know.
Like I always say, how did I even end up with this man?
I know. Right?
I mean, that's that question we always all ask ourselves. You understand? It's always a question that at times you say to yourself, and then when later, like you rightly said, when you're grown, and when I say grown, it has nothing to do with age. It's when that thing always kicks in. You always discover that, okay, you know what? This is what it is. Yeah. One of the things I found out when I talk about, I mean, people will tell you different things like, oh no, people qualify strong women in different forms. And I'm happy you've actually said something today. It has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with your career. It has nothing to do with what you've achieved. I mean, for me, I think the strength of a woman is a woman who can actually juggle so many things together and still be very successful. And that is why I said, okay, you know what? When we look at the strength of a woman, I know you have two beautiful, I mean, I would call them very strong young women. You understand? And yeah. I know you are a very, very busy person. But in all the craziness going on around you, you've been able to hold it together.
Mm.
You know, being able to bring up the girls in the right path, being able to run a successful business, being able to hold down your marriage. You understand? So give me an insight into how do you do all this without one, because you always find out over time now that one always gives for the other. One always gives for the other. How do you manage everything without one giving for the other?
Yeah.
What's your strategy?
All right, it's still Real Talk with Lola, and I think we're losing signal there.
You know, I grew...
All right, hello.
Okay, she's back online now.
All right, we lost you for a moment there.
I'm back. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so I would more. I mean, as a foreign woman in South Africa, early on in my career, in my 20s, I grew very well professionally. So I got into really senior positions quite young, and I thank God for that. And I think the one recipe for me has really been the grace of God upon my life. That's the first thing. It's really been God. But beyond that, it's been an unquenchable hunger, that drive, the drive to be the best me I can be. I don't know how long my life will be. I'm trusting that it will be very long, illustrious, and strong. But that is not guaranteed. So I realized that I had to drive myself to see that I can fulfill all the things I dream about. Nobody can fulfill my dream. Dreams can just be dream, and dream is free and it's cheap. But really achieving that dream requires hard work and change. And a lot of people don't get to their greatest potential because they don't want to change in some aspects. And I think that's the most challenging thing for human beings. So for me, what really drives me, and by the way, I believe that you can. You know, I think it's a fallacy that people, either whether men or women, where we think that, you know, we can't win, we can't bring up children that are, I mean, nobody's perfect. I think that's the first thing. But you can bring up children that are well-mannered, driven. You can have a successful marriage. You can have a successful business. You can feel fulfilled in yourself by achieving your own dreams and goals and vision. You can have it. You really can. But of course, it takes hard work, and it takes really putting people first. It takes even putting others first, because sometimes we think that to have it all, I have to be selfish. It has to be me, myself, and I on this pedestal. No, that's actually a poverty mindset, because the world has enough for everybody. And so that has been my it's been really about God. It's been my drive to see that I really can do all that I dreamt to be as a young girl. Have I seen it all? No, not at all. But every day I wake up and I'm like, okay, this one I dreamt to do this one. How am I doing on this one? I really am so I manage myself. I think self-leadership is something that every woman needs. I mean, I manage how I speak. I manage how I speak to people, how I speak to my husband. So it doesn't even, charity begins at home. So I learned how to apply all this trade out externally, God had to deal with me inside my house. You know, so I learned how to speak to my husband, speak to myself kindly, speak to my children, bring them up, not toe the line. You know, I'm being that example in my own house so that I can, if I speak externally, I can speak with authority, knowing that my kids will not roll their eyes or not, you know? So it's really a life of discipline, not a life of perfection, because you will toe the line, you will mess up sometimes, but you're able to forgive yourself because you forgive others. You know, and I think that's probably just, I'll say my formula. My formula is God, and my formula is really putting people's needs and people's really looking at what people need. I mean, for me, people are so important. You will know, Sis Lola, you can never tell me, Caroline, I need to do this. And I say, you know what, I don't think I'm available, I'm too busy. I just feel that's a cliche. And you have a lot of women that are very successful, but they feel that they can't give people their time. I think that, for me, that has been one of the marks of my own success, that giving people my time is the only thing I can probably give some people. Because some of you are so accomplished, you don't need anything from me, you know? But just giving you my time is probably the only gift I can give you. And so, yeah, those are some of the values that drive me. It's just reassuring people that I care and that they are worth it. And they have all that is within them to be the best they can be and achieve all that they desire. Yeah.
Best you can be. I can hear the best you can be here, which is where we are right now, halfway mark. Okay, so you know what we're going to do. Let's take a short break. I'll play you something that fits exactly what you've just said, The Best You Can Be by Omawumi. When we come back in about 2 minutes, then we will continue the conversation. And then, of course, I'm going to be intervening. I've taken notes. I've heard too many things that I shouldn't hear, and I will bring it up here. All right, no problem. All right, so this one is The Best You Can Be, courtesy of Omawumi.
Mama, now I see why you said the things that you said to me all along. You wanted me to be the best that I can be. I didn't see the tears you cried for me. I didn't hear the that you said on your knees. All I saw was this person who didn't understand how I felt inside when you
It's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And of course, we are still doing some real talk with Lola. And Lola has been conversing with Caroline in BG4. All right, celebrating the strength of the woman has been the topic. I've left them for 30 minutes. Now it's time for me to weigh in on some of the issues that they've been discussing. I hope you ladies are still there.
We're right here.
All right, fine. Okay,
yes,
so
right, yeah.
Continue, Lola. All right, you guys continue with the discussion, and then I'll look for the appropriate time. But if Lola permits me, I might just ask one question so that we can move on.
Okay, go on.
Okay, all right. Caroline, I've been enjoying your conversation with Lola, and I mean, you sound like, a woman of strength, I can see. All right, but do you sometimes get, a negative reaction from the male folk, do you sometimes, do they sometimes get intimidated? Do they sometimes feel you are being too pushy, or you are not submissive, or you are not the typical African woman?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Oh, I mean, definitely. You must realize that on Earth, we are all on a journey. We are all on a journey. Like, I mean, that question is like, duh, of course, yeah, like, really? I think every woman who is clear about who they are and where they're going is intimidating, because I think the world is only getting used to. I mean, even our sister, Okonjo, who just made it into the office, right? Every woman who is clear about who they are and where they're going is intimidating. And so I'm very aware of that. But I think what I do is, because I'm aware of that, I'm a bit accommodating, but not to the extent that I entertain foolishness. So, I'm accommodating, because I always feel like, you know, if you can try and address a man's ego, they are far better. You've already captured them. So whenever I'm with men, I tend to, as an African woman, I tend to just give them the respect as a male, as a man, whether in authority or not. I mean, I even struggle to call men by their first names. So, yeah. And that's a conscious decision I made, not because anybody compels me to do it, but because I want men to know that not every woman who is successful is a threat. We're not on this earth to compete. We're on this earth on our own individual journeys, and we just have to do the best we can. So I really try and show that. But even when you do, you still have the really not kids, foolish ones, right? And so you still have to draw the line somewhere where, you know, I'll tell you that, you know what, I'll still respect you. I might not be able to call you on your first name, but if you cross this boundary, I might just kill you. You know, this is where it ends, you know? So this line you will not cross. And I think with a man, when you say that very clearly and uncategorically, especially to those that exhibit stupid behavior, they tend to get it. At least from my experience, because you first respected them, and then they've gone a bit out of line, and you just tell them that, okay, this is where we draw the line. And so from here, if you do A, B, and C, this is the consequence.
So and I think that's what you call, excuse me, sir, you are being silly.
Yes. You know, you honor them, and then you tell them where to get and be like, you know, yeah, that this, we don't behave like this. I mean, this is not even African. So because some will make excuse about culture and tradition. No. Our very African culture and tradition is embedded in respect of people and how you speak. So when men make, or women even make excuse about culture and tradition in a way that is disrespectful and foolish, I'm very quick to tell them that that is not culture or tradition or African. So the answer is twofold. I face that many times. But I make sure that I present myself in a way that is respectful and honorable to every man, especially male, those that are in position of authority or not. But if there's stupid behavior, especially if it's whether sexual or just foolish language, I make sure that that behavior doesn't go unchecked.
Okay. Aru, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Go ahead, Lola. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Has she responded to you okay?
Yes. Fine. I got it.
Okay, I'm actually going to go back on that, Carol, because I remember one of the strengths of Carol, which I actually keyed into, and I think I really admired her for that, was actually being able to openly discuss the sexuality in marriage, especially with men. And I remember when I used to run that program, I used to get a lot of negative response. I mean, I've had a man ask me before if I had some sexual problems, and I was like, he says, how can a woman, I remember the question was, how can a woman be teaching sexuality? Are you promiscuous? And I was like, okay, where's that question coming from? But again, I realized it's because of I would like to call it, I used to call it the close-mindedness of people not being kind of exposed to what this reality is. Because like I used to say to you then, there's just so many myths surrounding it. So now with this topic of Sarah that I know you do and so many other things, how has it been your response, especially from men like Mr. Aru said, how has it been when you discuss sexuality, especially, how has the response been, and how have you been able to, like, you know, Because I remember for me, I won't tell a lie, I used to get very embarrassed initially. I couldn't even tell people I was a sexologist. I just used to say, you know, just used to nod about it because it was quite embarrassing because they ask you, so why did you go and study sex? And I'm like, okay, you know, so how do you deal with it?
Well, Lola, thank you for that. I think that's a very good question because I think, I believe that the things that people cannot, what you can, okay, let me phrase it. The things that you're unable to speak about, it's the very things that will potentially destroy you.
Destroy you, yeah.
And a lot of times in marriages, you would find that, and I guess my grace is that I speak about it a lot more in the context of marriage. But even with my children, I mean, in my children, in my house, there's nothing like sex and penis has any word. It's called exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not, we don't do winkies or pee-pee. Or, no, we don't do those nonsense. You know, because the things that you can't talk about, it means that they are the things that you're spending a lot of brain time on. And that's the things that will probably destroy you. So in when I talk to men and couples, especially around sex, it's with the understanding that I really, every man, I don't care whether they are the Pope or whoever they are, they do think about sex, period.
Yeah.
You know? And it's about how do I help you? You know, help me help you. So it's about an exchange of value. You know, this is something you want. I want you to have it. And I want you to really enjoy it. You know, so how do I help you get what you need? You know, and because it's in the content of marriage, it's a bit of a safe space. So I teach women that, you know what, the beauty, marriage is a gift. And one of the greatest gifts in marriage is the gift of sex. I mean, sex, unashamed sex, sex that you don't have to feel guilty about. No lies, I call it license to thrill. You know, like you can go to town. And so if you can't even speak about it, it means that you have a stronghold in your marriage already. You have a stronghold in your relationship. You need to break it down. Because you see, when men or women have affairs, right, when they have extramarital affairs, They plan these things. They plan it with whoever they're having these affairs with. But when they come home, it's like, you can't talk about this thing. We can't plan it. It has to, like, who said that? You know? But when they have extramarital affairs, they plan it to the T, where they're meeting, when they're meeting, what I want you to wear, what I, you know? Same thing. So I'm like, make your home, let your home look like the movie you like to watch. You know? So that you're happy coming back home. If your home, If the outside world looks more interesting than your home,
then there's a problem.
Then you have a problem. Yes, yeah. And that's exactly the problem people face with their sexuality, especially in marriage, is that what they watch on TV and what they watch in the world is so exciting and enticing. They like it, but they're afraid to say it in the home. I'm like, there's something wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just saying, okay, this is what you want. You want a happy sexual life in marriage. How do I help you attain it? And I can't help you attain it when you want to call sex, what do they call it? Let's go to Jerusalem. Or I'm like, no, what do you mean? who's going to Jerusalem? I don't want to go to Jerusalem. You know, like, can we just speak English and just mean what we say and say what we mean and stop beating? I mean, people are like, okay, all kinds of crazy things. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I don't just roll like that. I believe that
Nigerians will say Nigerian men will say alpha, and I used to wonder alpha.
No, that's if you are, that's where you are fighting, when you have a tiff, when you have a quarrel in the house, and the man wants it, and he doesn't want to come straight. He will ask you a simple question: how far? You know, we can continue this fight too after, but how far?
Oh yeah.
You can see that Aru needs to be educated about this thing. No. Because I don't understand.
But that's even coming. Okay, coming from that. A man. It's even coming from a man who is being sincere. He wants it and he's looking for the, you know, the password, so to say. You know, but
so he's trying to tell you that. Okay, let's pause this our fight, Alpha.
Yes, let's pause this fight because that one shouldn't be part of the fight.
Yeah, no. I mean, I do understand that in the African context, when we have kids around, I mean, so it can be useful to have some codes, but don't make it a habit between the two of you. Like, I mean, I believe more in sign language. Like, within couples, you must be able to read what my eyebrows mean, like what, you know, different body languages, you know. You exchange that when I do this, know that this is what I mean. Even in public, sometimes you go out as a couple. When your partner wants to go home, you don't have to say, let's go. They can read that it's time for us to bounce, you know. And I think that is very useful. It comes from a lot of communication and just being honest and transparent. And that is, those are the pillars of a good relationship. You know, being just on real good old honesty and transparency, it never wears out. And for me, that's why calling a spade a spade.
Yeah. But how much more or how better can you call a spade when you're at home, you know, as the man and you want it, and you start walking around the house naked? Is that not a better signal?
Oh, my word.
If your wife is tall and you're walking around naked, and I think you need some fresh air.
You know, if it's just the two of you, by all means.
Yes, yes. Two of you. Yeah, two of you.
Yes, certainly. Please. I mean, like all these things. I mean, you know, the beauty about marriage is that you make your own rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You make your own rules. What works for you, for the two of you, agree on it, and make your home a heaven, a safe heaven. Don't be tied down to other people's rules and their norms. And if it's not working for you and your husband, when it's an agreement, make that home something you can be dry. Like, even stay, when you're in a meeting, you're thinking of something, you're like, oh my God, it just lights up your life. You're thinking, I need to go home soon. You know, like, make your home that heaven, because only you can. And only you can make it hell on earth as well. Choose, you know, and you have the power to do that. That's the real strength of a woman and a man, is to make your home. I mean, I think it's a really lousy life when your business setting is more exciting than your home. There's something wrong with you, because it's in your hands to make it. You know, so I think we need to take back that power and that control and be accountable that we have that power to make our homes what we want it to be, and not anybody else.
Don't worry, I'll bring you to Nigeria once COVID is over for a major seminar. You teach these women, you know, how to get the man in the groove. You know, why don't you send your husband a text? Your husband a text at 6 o'clock that, hey, come on, I want you home tonight early. I want, you know, you could create, you know, just like exactly. You said, that communication is not, it doesn't have to be they say, bam, bam, every time.
I mean, one of the programs I know that Carol runs, and I've been there quite a while, is the Daughters of Sarah. And I will tell you one of the things I mean, that was intriguing to me, because I was brought in to give a talk, you understand. And you realize that many people, like I said to them, many people are held back by, I don't call it a belief anymore, I call it a myth. Because you are held back by those some stupid things that you don't even understand. Like, for example, like Carol said, I remember when I sang the song of Let's Make Love Tonight, Baby, and all of them were looking at me. And I'm like, why? Even the book, I mean, let us even go spiritual. Some people will tell you stupid things like, the mouth I use in praying, I can't use it to do the other thing. And I'm like, go brush your teeth after done and go and pray then. I mean, what are you talking about? You're being silly. But again, even when we look at the book of Solomon, I always say to people, that is my Bible of my spirituality. Because it teaches you that sex is not wrong.
Yeah.
It teaches you that your body... And I mean, as long as you're, like I always say the story of Cleopatra when I teach it. And look, Cleopatra was a sexual goddess, not because she was special or anything, but because she put in so much energy into doing what she was doing. And that is the same thing about marriage. So, I mean, before we go off, Carol, I need one last question from you. From okay. Somebody just sent in the question, and it says, how can you help a young woman going through all these challenges of balancing everything up, you know, marriage, children, work. I'm sorry to say, the women of today, they are too, I would say to myself, they're a little bit, they have their heads in the clouds. Yeah. And that's just the truth about it. They want to be the boss woman. They want to be the best mother. They want to be the chief. looking after three children, they still want to cinch their waist. Like I told somebody a story of when I cinched my waist. Oh Lord God, I think my soul was the only one that came back home with me. My spirit ran away. It left me.
I know.
My spirit left me at Hyde Park Corner. He joined me when I got to, when I removed the belt. So, you know, they want to do so many things. So how do you help this woman find hope? That's your closing question. Yeah. Give them a little bit of your strength. How do they, you know, mirror all these things together and still find hope when they're going through this? Because they go through a lot of challenges nowadays, a lot.
Yeah. I think, you know what? Asking for help is also a strength.
Yes.
You know? So let's not think we're not superheroes here. Nobody's trying to win a superhero contest. So asking for help is a strength. But let me start here. So we have different professions. I think one of the problems in this era is the impact of social media. Okay? Because the young ones of these days, they follow a lot of these what they call celebrities, stars, right? Whose business is also in how they look. So the actors and the actresses have to, they invest their priority, one of their priorities, what sells,
is to look good. Yeah.
Is to look good, okay? So they're in the business of not only selling their talent, but they're also selling
themselves.
They have to maintain, they're selling themselves. They are their own craft. So looking good externally is part of what they sell when they cast, for example. So me, Caroline, as a businesswoman, a mother, a wife, a public speaker, and all these hats, a child of God and all of that, I have to determine in my path, in my own vision, and I'm going to take me so that I can answer that question a bit better. I have to determine along my path, along my vision, my goals I've set for myself, my purpose that I'm very clear on, which is building, you know, complete leaders, leaders who win in all areas of their life, in marriage, in business, with their children, in their community, who are able to be truly transformational agents, right? So when I look at that and I think, okay, how does my body, how I look, is that a key element of my career, my business and all of that? And I answer, maybe, but not so much, okay? So that means that I'm a bit more nonchalant. I don't work out. I'm not crazy about going to the gym, spending 1 hour every day, 7 days a week, you know, wearing this stomach belt and all these things that people want to do. Because that's my line of trade. I want people to be impressed by my soul, not my body. So that's the one. So you have to look at your vision, your goals, and what in line with that enables you to prioritize appropriately. And also realize that time happens to everybody. When my kids were far younger, I could not do a lot of the things I was doing. I had help. My career was still growing in leaps and bounds. I mean, I was a director by the time I was 29. And I had two girls by then. Okay, my second girl was actually born when I was 20, when I was 29. So I got help. I had an incredible helper. I used to travel so much for work. And I had help, and my husband was a bit more around, and time happened, but then I wasn't running a business. So we also have to be very circumspectful about when we want to do what, and is that still in line with our priorities? But don't try and be Jennifer Lopez, or what is this, a Nigerian actress who is now also a filmmaker who lives in Canada. You can't look like her when you are a mother and you probably have a body I have, and your priority is probably your soul. Don't have unrealistic expectations about going to the you have to be a realist. You have to be authentic in who you are and what you want to be, and bring your husband or your spouse along. The best thing is to grow together. Oh, that is very sweet. Because when you grow together, what you're doing is you're enabling your entire household. And so you're not leaving anyone behind. Nobody's feeling aggrieved, avenged, or all of that. And you're fulfilling your dreams systematically. I didn't get here overnight. I'm 45 now. And yes, I've done a lot in the last two decades because I was blessed early in my career, but I didn't get there at 20. And nowadays, kids are like 20 and they're 22 and they want to have it all. It's possible in many instances, but it's not always possible. So we need to also be able to pace ourselves. Pace yourselves with your dreams. And be somewhat be realistic in the context of what are your priorities. Those that are not too pressing, they can come later. I believe that maybe I can, in my 60s, God willing, if I want to, maybe I can try the Jennifer Lopez body. But I don't want to. That's not something I admire. So, it's not for me.
I feel you, my sister. I feel you. I know.
Yeah, I'm even feeling that more. and I'm just saying that unfortunately we cannot go beyond this point. Okay, yeah. Lola, you know what we're going to do? I think I can feel Caroline very well, and I already had a discussion with you some time ago that something else is cooking, and of course we should be able to put Caroline in the loop. She would be useful to a lot of young women, even some adult women, you know. And of course, that would be on our new terrestrial radio station called Life Radio. We're talking about life, wow. And we're skewed towards women and young adults. So I'm sure at the back corner or at the back end, we'll cook up something, Lola. Don't worry, you're already a part of it. We'll see how we can always get her to come and talk to a lot of Nigerian women about some of these things. Okay? And of course, that it's a platform that is on the ground somewhere in the Pacesetter state of Oyo State. We're doing our test transmission now. And Lola, don't worry. I came back to Lagos today because of this. Okay. And we'll continue. So, Caroline, you've been very fantastic for us today. And I'm sure you're already part of the spirit of Nigeria Radio family. Lola is one of us. She's the founding. And of course, from Spirit of Nigeria Radio, we're going to a lot more things, like I said. And one day, we might as well would have our own live TV or something that will be, you know, impacting lives, adding value, enriching the lives of people. And I like your flow.
Oh, yes.
I like your boldness, your courage. And that's really what I think world needs to gravitate towards. All right, Lola, your last word.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much, Caroline. Thank you for always upping up and going with me anytime I call you. I mean, you know me, I'm not always too put together, but that is just my own strength too, you know?
Yes,
like I always
say
to people, I'm the lastminute.com, but it always works.
Exactly.
So thank you so much, Caroline. And again, happy International Women's Day. And
same to you, my dear.
Yeah, continue to I wish you all the best. And to Spirit of Nigeria Radio, thank you. This week has actually been a bit of very hectic for me. I didn't even believe I was going to be able to run this program today. But again, that is the strength of a woman. I didn't want to call it off.
Yes, strength of a woman. That's it. Yes, we admire you. No problem. All right, don't worry. Tomorrow is International Women's Day. We'll be celebrating women on Spirit of Nigeria. We've lined up a number of women that we'll be speaking with. But more importantly, we'll be playing music strictly from Nigeria's female artists. 24 hours.
You know, I was going to tell you something, Aru.
Yes.
Funny enough, in South Africa, Women's Day is in August.
Wow. Okay, we'll be celebrating women, whether in August, in March, or any other time.
No. we'll stop it this way. Thank you so much.
A lot. All right, see you guys, and I'm sure we'll continue our conversation.
Thank you very much.
All right, so it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Keep on listening. Yes, in another 2-3 minutes, it's the time for Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Akmeg from Ottawa, Canada. And today, we'll be talking about prostate cancer in men.